For our selective meeting this afternoon, Brother Owen is going to give us a discourse, and unsurprisingly, the title is up on the screen, and it is The Rainbow Covenant. Brother Owen, The Rainbow Covenant.
Thank you, Brother Russ, and thank you, Brother Dan, for the prayer. I would like to mention that I used this talk as much as I could about 8 to 10 years ago, so this is not a new talk. It is a rerun. And I would like to say I really enjoy science very, very much. I like to learn as much as my little head will absorb. So I've always enjoyed the thoughts of the Rainbow Covenant. I would like to mention that the Rainbow Covenant is an unconditional promise by God. It's not dependent upon anyone or anything. God has declared that this is an unconditional promise, and this would be a forerunner for the Abrahamic promise, because you'd have to guarantee the earth, because if you didn't have a world, you could not be able to have the Abrahamic promise. There are two, you could have a double rainbow present at the same time, and Dorothea and I, we did see a double rainbow. So it is possible to see a double rainbow at one time. A key scripture is taken from Ezekiel 1:28. This is the New American Standard. As the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice speaking. So the key thing that we'd like to emphasize from this scripture is that the rainbow is the glory of God. So we're going to emphasize and illustrate how that is possible. This is just a little bit of a vision of Ezekiel's vision, where God's sitting upon the throne, and a rainbow is above him. And then you have cherubims and seraphims that have the wings outstretched with wheels. And then in their faces, they have the four attributes of God. The dove returning with fresh olive leaf. And the dove came to him toward evening, and behold, in her beak was a freshly picked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the water was abated from the earth. Genesis 8:11. Leaving the ark after the flood. Verses 16-19. Go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and animals and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may breed abundantly on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, and every bird, everything that moves on the earth, went out by their families from the ark. Noah builds an altar to the Lord. In Genesis 8:20, we read, Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. The Rainbow Covenant is covered for us in Genesis chapter 9, 1 and verses 9 to 17. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Verse 9, Now behold, I myself do establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that comes out of the ark, even every beast of the earth. Verses 11 to 14, And I establish my covenant with you, and all flesh shall never again be cut off by the water of the flood. Neither shall there again be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the sign. Now you notice that's emphasized because this will be a key part of the talk. This is the sign of the covenant which I am making between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all successive generations. I set my bow in a cloud, and it shall be a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come about when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the clouds. Verses 15 to 17. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And never again shall the water become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the cloud, then I will look upon it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." The word sign is very significant in the Bible. The word sign becomes a very important part of our study in regards to the rainbow, covenant, circumcision, Passover, miracles of Jesus, and signs of our Lord's presence. The word or concept of a sign is descriptive of the following. One would be about the heavenly bodies covered for us in Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 to 19, and that would be the times and the seasons. This is where we regulate our time and develop all of our wristwatches and clocks and so forth. And this becomes the intelligent design. And this is what they call the ID. And this is a great discussion that goes on in all colleges and universities, and that would be the intelligent design, the great ID. Next, we have the rainbow in Genesis chapter 9, verses 12 to 17, which is the covenant to Noah and mankind. Then we also have another sign, that would be circumcision, and this would be in Genesis chapter 17, verse 11. God's covenant promises to Abraham. And if you ever want to study Genesis 17, you'll notice that this becomes the covenant chapter because the word covenant is repeated over and over again. Intelligent design. I mentioned this is the great ID. I heard a scientist speak, and he said that the earth and the moon are the right size. They're the right distance between them, and the main purpose would be so that the earth would not wobble. And the earth is traveling at 66,000 miles per hour. That's remarkable to think that we could be traveling at such a fantastic speed. And you'll notice that you don't feel a thing, so the earth does not wobble. The word sign is covered in all of the following scriptures. I won't read the scriptures, but I'll tell you it's covered in bloodshed, God's wonders, covenant, miracles, memorial, symbolic act, witness, our Lord's return, and performing many signs. And that we'll cover those in John. A Savior is born in Luke chapter 2, verses 11 to 12. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Next we have the sign of Jonah, recorded for us in Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 to 42. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, and yet no sign shall be given to it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Verses 41 and 42. The men of Nineveh shall stand up with this generation at the judgment and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south shall rise up with this generation at the judgment and shall condemn it because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. Wine, water into wine, the first sign. And this was the first sign or miracle that Jesus performed. We read in John chapter 2, verse 5 and 8 to 11. His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." And they took it to him. And when the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom. Verses 10 and 11. And he said to him, "Every man serves the good wine first. And when men have drunk freely, then that which is poorer, you have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The nobleman's son, the second sign, recorded for us in John chapter 4, verses 49 to 54. The royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he started off. And as he was now going down, his slaves met him, saying that his son was living. So he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better. And they said therefore to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." Verses 53 and 54. So the father knew that it was at that hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." And he himself believed, and his whole household. This is again a second sign that Jesus performed when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. Healing the paralytic was the third sign on the left, and feeding the multitude was the fourth sign in the middle, and Jesus walking on water was the fifth sign. The sixth sign, Jesus heals the sight of a man born blind. And this has never been done in the annals of history. And the seventh sign, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. The Jews seek for a sign. Chapter John verses 18, John 2 verses 18 to 21. The Jews therefore answered and said to him, "What sign do you show to us, seeing that you do these things?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews therefore said, "It took 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he, that would be Jesus, was speaking of the temple of his body. Many believed. John 2, verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name, beholding his signs which he was doing. So the signs again would be synonymous with miracles. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. For indeed, Jews ask for signs, and the Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. The story of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. This is recorded for us in chapter John, verses 3 and 4, and we're going to read other scriptures. So this was the seventh sign or the seventh miracle that Jesus performed. The sisters therefore sent to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now you'll notice we're going to emphasize in verse 4, it says that this sickness is for the glory of God. Continuing the story of Lazarus, Mary and Martha, both Mary and Martha mildly reprove Jesus. Martha therefore said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. John 11:21. And verse 32 of John 11. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell on his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Continuing, Jesus answers Martha. Jesus said to her, Martha, did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? This is John 11:40. You'll notice that we have the glory of God underlined. Jesus said to her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. John 11:24. Jesus answers Martha. Jesus said to her, Martha, did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? John 11:40. Jesus said to her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. John 11:25. What did Jesus mean when he said, you will see the glory of God? And how does the resurrection apply to our lesson? You remember the scripture we quoted at the beginning, Ezekiel 1:28. It states that the glory of God was the rainbow. And in John chapter 11, it doesn't talk about any rain. We would like to suggest that Jesus was the antitypical high priest with the glory robes on, will bless the world in the kingdom. We will be illustrating how the colors of the rainbow are represented in the glory robes of the high priest shortly. Jesus was touched to the heart. The shortest verse in the Bible tells us Jesus wept, John 11:35. Jesus said, remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. John 11:39. Jesus wanted to demonstrate that he will have the ability to overcome the decaying process of 4 days, 40 years, 400 years, even 4,000 years. We're going to discuss I am in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, we have seven I ams. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. Jesus used the fifth I am for the lesson on Lazarus. Now for a few minutes, we're going to discuss Sir Isaac Newton. And by the way, I never knew that he was Jewish, even though he had the name of Isaac. He lived from 1643 to 1727. Sir Isaac Newton discovers the colors in the rainbow. He used a prism to discover that there would be seven colors in the rainbow. So the colors of the rainbow are red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. So the rainbow has seven colors. And we have seven letters. This was a lesson that most of us had in grammar school, that there was a name to the rainbow. And the rainbow would be Roy G. Biv. And that would be the way that you would remember the colors of the rainbow. And it's possible that if you see a rainbow, the red could be on the top, and it's also possible that you could see the red on the bottom. But the order of the colors will always be the same. So if you see the red on top, you'll see what we have illustrated here. But if you see the red on the bottom, you just reverse all of the colors. A raindrop and a prism. You'll notice we have a picture of a raindrop here, and Sister Dorothea put all these little raindrops in the background here. But you will notice that when light would enter a drop of water, it is not really completely circular, and we have what we call refraction. So the light is bent, and then this is what causes the rainbow, where you'll have red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. The raindrop and prism. Red would represent sin. I won't read all the scriptures. And red also indicates the ransom. Orange would be God's favor to all mankind. Yellow or gold represent the divine nature and the power to aid all mankind. Green is earthly prosperity. Blue is faithfulness. Indigo is royalty. And violet is the glory of the high priest of Israel. Edwin Hubble lived from 1889 to 1953. Hubble discovered that all of those spots that you would look like little stars out in the sky, he found out that they were not all just stars. He found out that there were galaxies, and there are millions upon millions of galaxies. And when he discovered the galaxies, he used the spectrum that was from Isaac Newton to determine their speed. So all galaxies are not moving at the same rate of speed. So Hubble used the spectrum to determine the speed of galaxies and discovered the vastness of the universe. And by discovering the speed of the galaxies, measuring it forward and backward, they determined that the universe is about 13.7 billion years old. This is a picture that I really love. This is not an actual thing that you're seeing. It's a picture. And if you have good eyes, you will notice that the colors that are larger are red. They're traveling at a faster speed. And if you look back, you'll see some blue at the very beginning of the galaxy, and that means they're traveling at a slower speed. And up at the top would be the Bang Theory. And the Bang Theory is no longer a theory because science has proved that this is an actual fact, that there was a beginning of the universe and there was expansion, which continues at the present time. Galaxies at different speed. When Albert Einstein was working on his equations for the theory of general relativity, he threw in a cosmological constant to bring the universe into harmonious equilibrium. But subsequent observations by Edwin Hubble proved that the universe was not static. Rather, galaxies were flying apart at various speeds. Einstein abandoned the concept, calling it the biggest blunder of his life's work. And Einstein made a special visit to talk to Hubble, to talk all about his great blunder that he made. The glory robes of the high priest of Israel. And we believe that this would be the glory of God. And you'll notice that we have all of the different items, the garments that the priest would wear. We have the crown, mitre, the curious girdle, the upper robe, the pomegranate, and the purple and scarlet, and then also the linen curtain. Then on the right, we have the blue laser, the gold clasp, the breastplate, 12 jewels, the linen girdle, the ephod, which was gold and blue, and the golden bells. The colors of the rainbow are in the breastplate. You'll see the arrows going all different ways, and this would illustrate that in the breastplate, we have all the colors of the rainbow. So we would have red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. The breastplate on the high priest had golden clasps, and this would represent faithfulness and divine power holding up the two covenants. The breastplate was folded in half and held by two gold clasps located on the high priest's shoulders. The front part represented the Abrahamic covenant, and the back side represented the new covenant. Purple, a sign of royalty. Since the blending of the blue and the scarlet produces purple, it was appropriate that the covering cloth for the altar of the burnt offering was purple, Numbers 4:13, to testify to this fact that Jesus had been faithful unto death, and for this God had highly exalted him to the royalty of the kingdom. A new name above every name, Philippians 2:9. And this is taken, Brother Fry's Tabernacle Notes on page 9. This is a illustration from Brother Edmund Jesuit. I always appreciate his handouts very much. And Brother Tom Rigorello now will be discussing all of these different colors on our Skype meeting on the Tabernacle. I won't go through all of these, but you'll notice that there is a little difference where it comes to the table of showbread, where you have scarlet and blue. Most of them have just blue. From Brother Anton Fry's picture of the pyramid illustrating the sacrificial life of the new creature, and this is Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. And this is taken from Brother Fry's Tabernacle Notes on page 9. So if you'll notice on the right, it says, blue is faithfulness, scarlet equals death of the sacrificial life, purple equals royalty. So by mixing blue and red, you get purple, which would be the crown of life. I think this is a beautiful illustration of the colors. Now we come to the miracles of Jesus, could also be called the signs. As you'll notice, Jesus lived in the northern area of Bethsaida and Capernaum. If we would draw a circle around the Sea of Galilee, 26 miracles were performed in this area. Then we had one miracle in the area of Samaria, and Samaria would be individuals that were half Jewish and half Gentile. And then we had 8 miracles around the Jerusalem area. So 2 or more miracles. The city of Capernaum, which is in the north, had 10, and the Sea of Galilee had 4, the province of Galilee, 3, the province of Decapolis, 3, the city of Bethsaida, 2. So you'll notice that all of these were in the northern area around the Sea of Galilee. And then we had the city of Jerusalem had 4, Perea, 2, and Judah, 2. I would also like to mention that Jesus performed more than 35 miracles that are recorded, but the scriptures just record 35 miracles. The responsibility to light. In Luke chapter 10, verses 13 to 15, we're going to learn a wonderful lesson that if you come in contact with light, whether you're spirit begotten or not, you are responsible to that light. So we read verses 13 to 15. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the judgment than for you. But you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will be brought down to Hades. So I'd like to repeat that you do not have to be spirit begotten. If individuals come in contact with light or truth, and if it registers in your mind, you will be held responsible for that light. 3 resuscitations by Jesus. Now you'll notice that we're emphasizing these were 3 resuscitations. It's not 3 resurrections, because we understand the word resurrection comes from anastasis, which would be a full restanding. So Jesus raised Jairus' daughter in the north. He was raising the widow's son from Nain in the north and raising Lazarus from the tomb in the south. Now, the reason Jesus delayed in the raising of Lazarus, and we use this for many of the talks when we witness to the public, individuals may counter and say raising Jairus' daughter and the son from Nain, that they may have been in a deep coma. So when it comes to Lazarus, Jesus deliberately wanted to make sure that everyone understood that he was dead. All miracles are not the same. We have 6 miracles that were exorcisms, 17 miracles that were healings, 9 miracles that would be in what we call nature, and 3 resuscitations for a total of 35. I would like to emphasize that Jesus performed more than 35 miracles, but we have only 35 that are recorded. God's glory, the rainbow. Revelation chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like a jasper, diamond stone, and a sardis, chameleon, in appearance. And there was a rainbow halo around the throne like an emerald, green in appearance. An emerald is a rich green variety of beryl, which is a prized gemstone. So we have the green emerald halo around the throne. And this will be an illustration that the brethren have used, that you have God sitting on the throne. We have the 4 living creatures, the 24 elders, and a host of angels. And this is taken from Paul Mesra, the emerald rainbow around the throne. So you have the faces of the 4 attributes of God, love, wisdom, power, and justice, and that all the circles would represent what we mentioned before, that the divine plan would be like circles going around. So this is taken from Brother Paul Mesra. The emerald rainbow around the throne. In Revelation chapter 4 vision, the covenant that is most likely being shown is the Abrahamic covenant. Starting with the Rainbow Covenant at the time of the flood, God has called all of his covenants everlasting covenants, and the reason for that is that they are all related to one another. Each covenant leads into the next one as God's plan progresses. At the point in time that we see this covenant, we think that it represents the Abrahamic covenant. The reason that we say that is because chapter 4 of Revelation represents God's plan as it existed prior to the time of Christ. In chapter 5, we see the next step in this plan where he shows us the Lamb of God. The Ancient of Days, the glory of God, love. This is taken from Reprint 529, paragraph 8. The first object to meet the gaze of John is that of a glorious king sitting on his throne. This is the Father, the Ancient of Days. He is to look upon like a jasper and a sardis stone. The jasper is supposed to mean the diamond. It is described as the most brilliant of all gems. It fittingly symbolizes the glory of God, the light, the luminary or source of light of the New Jerusalem. The sardine stone is a stone of a red color. We think it here symbolizes love, which is the underlying element in all God's action, tingling the glory through which it shines. Token of a covenant. The throne is encircled by a rainbow like unto an emerald. A rainbow is the token of a covenant. The green or emerald color probably symbolizes freshness and vigor, that God's plans are like nature in a springtime, filled with life and continually developing and unfolding, blossoming into luscious fruit for the sustenance and pleasure of his creature. And in Jameson Fawcett Brown, the Antitype, new heavens and earth, predominating color is green, the most refreshing of colors to look upon, God's consolatory promises through Christ. And Matthew Henry, this rainbow is looked like the emerald. The most prevailing color was a pleasant green to show the reviving and refreshing nature of the new covenant. So from the time of the flood, all sacrifices that we're studying about, like on our study previously in our second volume, pointed to Christ. And Christ would point to the millennial age when everything will be restored back in the millennial age. So we have prophet, priest, king, and mediator. We have the sure mercies of David in Psalms 89, verses 3, 4, 35, and 36. The sure mercies of David. This is Psalms 89, verses 3, 4, 35, and 36. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to David, my servant. I will establish your seed forever and build upon your throne to all generations. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His descendants shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. The rainbow covenant flows into the new covenant, Hosea chapter 2, verses 18 to 23. In that day I will also make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, the birds of the sky, and the creeping things of the ground. And I will abolish the bow and the sword and the war from the land. And I will make them lie down in safety. And I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in loving kindness and in compassion. Continuing verses 20 and 23, I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Then you will know the Lord, and it will come about in that day that I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the heavens, and they will respond to the earth, and the earth will respond to the grain, and to the new wine, and to the oil, and they will respond to Jezreel. And I will sow her for myself in the land. I will also have compassion on her who had not obtained compassion, and I will say to those who are not my people, you are my people. The ransom is seen in the morning. When we wake, we see a rose color in the sky. We thank the Lord for another day. And the ransom is seen at the close of the day. We thank the Lord for another day. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord bless these words.